a high school gym. Fluorescent lights, students laughing between classes. But in the corner of the wrestling mat section, one mat stood upright, hollow inside. When they pulled it down, they found the body of 17-year-old Kendrick Johnson, head first, upside down, shoes off, blood pooling below. Authorities called it a freak accident, said Kendrick was retrieving a shoe and got stuck, case closed. But his parents knew better. The autopsy results didn't match the scene. Surveillance footage was missing critical hours. A second autopsy revealed blunt force trauma, while the first claimed positional asphyxia. And somewhere, buried deep in sealed files and redacted transcripts, a secret grand jury had already heard testimony that no one was allowed to speak of publicly. So who rolled Kendrick into that mat? Why did school officials stay silent? And what power decided his death would remain accidental, even as evidence piled up that someone wanted this story buried? This isn't just about one death. It's about power, silence, and a town that still refuses to tell the whole truth. So if you think you've heard it all, you haven't. Hit follow on your favourite platform and leave us a comment, because the next story might just change the way you see everything. Don't miss a single twisted turn. Chapter 1. The Mat, the Blood and the Lies. It was January 11, 2013 when classes resumed after winter break at Lowndes High School in Valdosta, Georgia. Students swarmed the campus, teachers prepped for the semester, and in the old gym, the wrestling mats stood stacked like giant rolled carpets, some upright, some on their side. At 10:30 a.m., a group of students noticed something strange, a pair of sock-covered feet protruding from one of the rolled mats. It was vertical, propped in a corner. The students hesitated, then screamed. Teachers came running. When staff tilted the mat down, they found the body of Kendrick Johnson, upside down inside the mat, motionless, face swollen, blood pooled at the bottom. 17 years old, a quiet, athletic kid. Loved football. Known for his wide smile and warm spirit. And now, dead. The official story. Within hours, local police and EMTs swarmed the scene. The mat measured approximately 6 feet tall and 3 feet wide when rolled. Investigators concluded Kendrick had likely dropped a shoe into the mat and, rather than moving or unrolling it, he tried to squeeze inside head first to retrieve it. They theorized he became stuck and suffocated. Positional asphyxia, they said. Case closed. But Kendrick's parents, Kenneth and Jacqueline Johnson, immediately saw through the narrative. Our son was 5'10", 160 pounds, Kenneth said. You're telling me he just dove into a mat and died? And no one noticed? Something felt wrong from the start. Physical inconsistencies. First, Kendrick's body was found with one arm pinned to his side, the other above his head. His face was bloated, and blood had poured from his nose and mouth. His fingernails were blackened, as if from bruising. A trail of blood was found on a nearby wall, yet it wasn't tested. Then came the shoes. One of Kendrick's sneakers was found below his body, untouched by blood, while another shoe was balanced on top of his legs. If he were upside down and bleeding for hours, why was the shoe underneath his body pristine? And why was there blood outside the mat, but not on items that should have been soaked? And then the most haunting detail. His organs were missing. The missing organs. Weeks after Kendrick's funeral, the Johnson family, still unsatisfied with the investigation, commissioned a private autopsy from Dr. William Anderson, a forensic pathologist in Florida. When he opened Kendrick's body, he was stunned. Every internal organ, heart, lungs, liver, intestines, was gone. In its place, his body cavity had been filled with newspaper. The funeral home later claimed the organs had liquefied during the initial autopsy and were discarded, and that filling bodies with newspaper was common practice. But Dr. Anderson disagreed. You don't throw away organs in a suspicious death. You preserve them for analysis, he said. His final report contradicted the official autopsy. Instead of asphyxiation, Anderson concluded Kendrick had suffered non-accidental blunt force trauma to the neck. Surveillance, blackout. Next came the surveillance footage. Lowndes High had over 30 security cameras. Investigators initially claimed there was no footage of Kendrick's final moments. The family demanded the tapes. When they were finally released, hundreds of hours of footage. Something was missing. Crucial hours. Gaps of time. Glitches. One camera, pointed directly at the gym entrance, skipped several minutes. In those gaps, Kendrick should have been walking in. Instead, the video stuttered, froze, rebooted. When it resumed, he was no longer visible. Experts hired by the family confirmed it. The footage had been tampered with, edited, cropped. This wasn't a technical error, one analyst said. This was deliberate. Who stood to lose? Rumors quickly spread. Kendrick had a disagreement with two brothers, both students, both the sons of an FBI agent. One of them allegedly fought Kendrick on a school bus months before. Were they involved? A witness claimed to hear a confrontation the day Kendrick died. That same witness later said she was pressured to change her statement. Then, she vanished from the witness list altogether. The Johnson family sued the school and later filed wrongful death lawsuits. None stuck. The official line remained unchanged. No foul play. But behind closed doors, something darker simmered. The community divides. Valdosta is a town with deep racial divisions. In a place where justice often wears a uniform of silence, the case of Kendrick Johnson became a lightning rod. Protests erupted. No justice, no peace echoed through downtown. Supporters marched with signs bearing Kendrick's image, demanding answers. But others, especially in law enforcement, pushed back. Sheriff Chris Prine, who led the initial investigation, publicly dismissed the family's concerns. There's no cover-up, he said. We followed the facts. But the facts didn't add up. Feds take over, then back off. In 2013, under mounting public pressure, the Department of Justice opened a formal investigation. Dozens of witnesses were subpoenaed. Grand jury hearings were held. But then, 2 years later, the case was dropped. No charges. No explanations. To this day, the testimony from that grand jury remains sealed. Kendrick's mother, Jacqueline, was devastated. They never wanted justice. They just wanted it to go away. But the Johnsons didn't stop. They launched their own investigations, hired PIs, filed civil suits, marched, spoke to national media, demanded Kendrick's name stay in the spotlight. And in doing so, they discovered something few others ever see: how far a system will go to protect its own. Chapter 2. Trial Tapes, Third Autopsy, and the Sealed Truth. Kendrick Johnson's face haunted the country. His eyes, warm and wide in every photo, stood in jarring contrast to the gruesome crime scene the world had been shown. And still, there were no charges, no arrests, no suspects. But behind the scenes, the Johnsons were waging a full-scale war against silence. And then, another blow landed, one that would send shockwaves through the entire investigation. The third autopsy. By 2018, the Johnson family had exhausted nearly every official path. They had filed wrongful death lawsuits that were dismissed. Their supporters had protested at every state and federal level. The Department of Justice had come and gone. And yet, there was still no official acknowledgement that Kendrick was murdered. So the family did the unthinkable. They exhumed Kendrick's body. Again. For the third time. This time, they turned to Dr. William Anderson again, who had already determined blunt force trauma in the second autopsy. But this time, the analysis would be even more thorough. Anderson's findings were clear. Kendrick's death was non-accidental. His neck showed signs of trauma inconsistent with a fall or accident. The pattern of bruising, swelling, and lack of hemorrhaging around the upper body supported one primary conclusion. He had been attacked before death. He noted signs of blunt force trauma, with the likely cause being a 45-degree lateral impact to the neck, possibly from an elbow or a cylindrical object. The timeline didn't match the shoe-retrieving theory. And the position of Kendrick's body made the idea of him slipping and falling into the mat, without resistance, without a struggle, without a sound, impossible. The conclusion? Homicide. A name whispered in court documents, filed in civil cases and wrongful death suits, repeatedly referenced one name, not officially, but in whispers. Brian Bell. A fellow student. A football player. A white teenager rumoured to have fought Kendrick months prior. And his brother, Brandon. And their father, Rick Bell, an FBI agent. In one deposition, a witness claimed she had overheard Brandon saying, "They're going to catch us." Another said Brian had previously threatened Kendrick over a girl. The allegations were explosive and mostly inadmissible, but the Bell family pushed back hard. They filed a $100 million defamation suit against the Johnsons. They denied any involvement, and no criminal charges were ever filed against either brother. Still, to many in Valdosta, the whispers stuck. Trial tapes, the sealed testimony. In 2016, news leaked that a secret federal grand jury had heard over 100 witnesses. The DOJ had subpoenaed surveillance footage, phone records, and student testimony. Parents were questioned. Teachers were brought in. But the transcripts were sealed. To this day, no public record exists of what was said behind those closed doors. Still, in rare moments, glimpses of those testimonies leaked. In one supposed excerpt, a student allegedly told the grand jury they were warned by their parents not to talk about what happened in the gym that day. Another claimed he saw Kendrick arguing with someone shortly before second period, but was told by school officials that it's best not to say anything. Even more chilling, the official custodian of Lowndes High's surveillance system testified that he wasn't responsible for the system malfunctions. He didn't have admin privileges. So, who did? The answer was never made public. Secrecy and the state's defense. In nearly every official response, local and state authorities doubled down on the accidental death theory. The Lowndes County Sheriff's Office insisted there was no evidence of foul play. The Georgia Bureau of Investigation declined to open a new case. But the Johnsons believed those denials were a performance, and that Valdosta's deep-rooted power structures were the true problem. This was about protecting certain families, said Jacqueline Johnson, and burying the truth with our son. Local officials maintained their line. No signs of struggle, no suspects, no crime. They claimed the organ removal was a routine practice. They dismissed the blood on the wall as old. They refused to address the missing hours of footage. When pressed, Sheriff Ashley Polk, who reopened the case briefly in 2021, claimed he reviewed 17 boxes of evidence and found nothing suspicious. He even offered a $500,000 reward for information while simultaneously declaring there was no crime. To Kendrick's family, it was yet another public relations trick. The document dump. In 2021, after nearly a decade of fighting, the Johnsons finally received something they had begged for, the full case file, more than 700 pages of reports, photos, statements, autopsy files. The family called a press conference, laying out the documents in front of reporters. Among the details they revealed, the missing surveillance time had never been accounted for. blood spatter found in the gym was never DNA tested. Kendrick's shoulders measured wider than the mat opening, making voluntary entry physically impossible. The Bell brothers' lockers had been cleaned out the day after Kendrick was found, but this was not considered suspicious. One student had posted cryptic messages on social media the night Kendrick died, but was never formally interviewed. Still, no arrests. Kendrick's final hours. Piecing together his final known movements, Kendrick Johnson entered the old gym around 1:09 p.m. on January 10th, 2013. He was wearing black gym shorts and a white t-shirt. He carried a folder. Roughly 15 minutes later, his phone pinged once. Then, nothing. He never came home. His parents reported him missing that night. School officials claimed they didn't know he was unaccounted for. But students later testified that his body was already producing a smell by the morning of January 11th, suggesting he had died hours earlier. The official story said he died reaching for a shoe, but by the time he was found, his blood had soaked through the mat, pooled on the floor, and stained his face dark red. What kind of accident leaves you like that? A national story, and then silence. The case went national in 2014. CNN ran multiple segments. Betty and Vice News featured the Johnson family's campaign. Roland Martin interviewed Jacqueline Johnson on air. But as time wore on, public attention faded. Civil rights leaders like Reverend Al Sharpton visited Valdosta. Protests continued for years, but the legal system had already closed ranks. The DOJ investigation, despite 2 years of work, concluded there wasn't sufficient evidence to file charges. Then came 2021's most bitter blow. The Lowndes County Sheriff's Office reopened the case, then closed it again, citing the same conclusion: accidental death, family resistance, and final words. "We know our son was murdered," Kenneth Johnson told a crowd at a 2022 rally. "We're not looking for sympathy. We're looking for truth. And if they think we're giving up, they don't know us at all." The Johnsons continue to press for unsealing the grand jury records. They've requested a congressional investigation. They've turned their grief into relentless activism. But perhaps the most damning question remains this: why did the system work so hard to bury the truth? Was it about shielding someone? Was it about optics? Or was it simply because Kendrick was black in a white-controlled town and the truth wasn't convenient? Whatever the reason, the facts don't lie. Surveillance footage was edited. Key witnesses changed stories or disappeared. Organs were discarded without consent. Three autopsies, two of them private, claimed homicide. And yet, no one has ever stood trial. Kendrick's story is still unfinished, but every page of this case file reads like a cover-up. And in Valdosta, Georgia, the silence speaks loudest. Bonus content, trial tapes, sealed grand jury files, narrated reenactments of leaked excerpts and redacted interviews. We saw him arguing in the locker room, but we were told not to talk about it. The footage skipped. 1 minute he's walking, the next, it's like someone erased it. I told them what I saw, but my statement never showed up in the file. True or not, those voices remain hidden, sealed behind courtroom walls the public cannot see through. But they're not gone. They're waiting. And the truth? It's still rolled up in silence.